Over the last few weeks in the morning, and this evening I'm going to share a little bit about worship. And if you turn with me to 2 Samuel 6, which is in the Red Bible, I believe it's page 300 and something, if I remember rightly. 310, there you go. And David has been anointed king over Israel. And God's put on his heart to bring back the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And this little bit I want to point to at the beginning is it was David was anointed as king. And that was the beginning of his journey. He'd been anointed as king, but he had not actually fulfilled or acted his role as king. In the anointing upon him as king, he would shape Israel, but God would shape him. And what I really want to look at this evening is that God has put each one of us on a journey. Each one of us here, God has called, God has a purpose, God has a plan for our lives. He's anointed us for that journey, but it's in the walking out, as we participate in what God has called us to do, that we understand and become the person that God wants us to be. This is a quote from Brenton Brown from a book called The Heart of the Worship Files. It says this: "We often start out on this journey like a broken down car in need of repair. Most of us want to get the car totally sorted and fixed before we start the journey. But God says, start the journey anyway. You'll find the service stations and mechanics on the way. As we continue on the way into Him, periodically He pulls us aside and gives us a service, make us more and more like His Son. That's how this God life works." So David had been called as a young man. He was a shepherd, as we all know. He's brought up looking after the sheep. He'd learned to fight the lion and the bear. And he came to a point where God had called him to be king, and now he had anointed him as king. And as God anointed him as king, he had started the journey with God, as God was going to teach him how to be a king and prepare a place for the coming of Jesus. So David was anointed king of Israel. He defeated the Philistines and established his throne in Jerusalem. And he built a fortress on Mount Zion, which is known as the City of David. And this is a time where David had defeated the Philistines. And God put in his heart that he wanted to bring the ark back into the center of Israel. And it says this: David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and fit, if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." And the whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. So David had become king, and David had on his heart to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. So does anyone not really know what the Ark is?
It's a pub in Lippy Valley.
That's exactly, there you go. It's what, in Lippy Valley? Sorry, thank you.
Let's try it.
Brilliant. So the Ark was a box which Moses had built in 400 years before David. And the word Ark literally means a box or chest. And in the Ark was about 3'9", which I can't believe how small it is, and about this big and about this big. And in it, Moses had brought the law and put the law of the tablets inside it. They had the manna in it and had Aaron's rod, which we'll look at a little bit later. And then the Ark of the Covenant, what did it do? It represented the God's glory and power. And so David wanted Israel to be alive with a sense of God's presence and the glory of God. So in this ark, God had put the law, God's presence was within it, and David wanted to restore God's place, rightful place, back into the center of Israel. And so God put on his heart to bring this ark back to Jerusalem. And when David brought this ark back, God would again restore his presence amongst the people of God. So God's glory would be with God's people. And so if you come with me to the beginning of 2 Samuel 6, it says this: David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which he called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim and on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill. Uzzah and Ahiah, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark on it, and Ahiah was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs and with harps, with lyres, with tambourines, with sistrums and cymbals. So David starts the process of bringing the ark back. He puts together 30,000 men, 30,000 of his army, to bring the ark back from this man here called, let's find his name again, Abinadab, who'd had the ark around his house for about 20 years. So David has sent his men to go and pick up the ark. And so when they got to Abinadab's house, they put the ark of the Lord on a cart and began the process of bringing it from his house up the hill towards Jerusalem. And so we have this ark, we have a cart, we have Abinadab's son Uzziah here and Ahiah here, and they're walking along with this ark, bringing it up towards Jerusalem. And as they're doing, they're celebrating with all their might. And it says they were worshipping with the lyres, the tambourines, the sistrums, and cymbals. They're worshipping God with everything they had. And then it says Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen had stumbled. And the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of the irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down and he died beside the ark of God. So it's an incredible story, isn't it? It's a story of God putting on something on David's heart, a really good thing, to bring God's ark, God's presence back into the center of Israel. The ark had been neglected. It had been under Saul's reign, had been outside of the center of God's people. And so David, being a man after God's heart, wanted to bring God's presence back into the center of Israel. And so he found out where the ark was and began the process of bringing it back to Jerusalem. And as he brought it back upon the cart, Uzzah reached out, touched the ark, and it died. And you begin to think, my gosh, what an awful story. How on earth? What was that all about? And then it goes to say, it says this. In all the celebrations, they had forgotten the requirement of God. It says in Chronicles, no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. And so God's intention was that it was his leaders, his worship leaders, would be the ones who would bring God's ark. And they were the ones who were set apart by God to bring his presence to the people. Before they could bring the ark, the Levites had to consecrate themselves, which means they had to make themselves holy through, as you read in the Bible, through purification rituals. And they were unable to carry the ark, but they couldn't just touch it. They had to carry it upon poles, upon their shoulders, because the holiness of God was such that to touch the ark, the same thing would have happened to them. And so we see this journey of David bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. And we see this journey of David, who started off being anointed king, who'd seen the faithfulness of God, and suddenly something happened to him that challenged everything that he believed in. And it says this. It says, the Lord's hand burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day. How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. And so David's response to what had happened to Uzzah was that he was angry that God had broken out against Uzzah. The place where God had broken out became named the place where God broke out. But on that day, David was afraid. He said, how on earth can I bring the ark of the Lord back into Jerusalem? And over the 3 months, the ark was put in Obed-Edom's house, and the Lord blessed him and his whole entire household. And so what I really want to note on this thing here is so often, we're welcomed into God's presence, which is fantastic, isn't it? That God has, through what Jesus has done for us, has provided a way and a means by which we can enter into the Holy of Holies. But so often in our journey, we can forget who God is. And David was a person who knew the Lord, but in this particular encounter had been suddenly challenged by the holiness of God. And imagine on those 3 months, he's waiting, hearing the stories of the ark being around Obed-Edom's house. He's wondering, I wonder if God will break out again. I wonder whether God will do what he did before. I wonder if exactly what happened to Uzzah, is that the God that I know? And imagine over those 3 months, he must have been quite challenged by what had happened. But the stories he heard from the house, that the Lord blessed him, Obed-Edom, and his entire household. And in that time of reflection, David must have remembered God on the journey he had taken him from. As a young man in the field, as a shepherd boy, as God had taught him to fight the lion and the bear, as God delivered him when he took Goliath out, when God delivered him in his skirmishes against the Philistines, he had seen the faithfulness of God. But in this situation, God had pointed to who God was. He remembered that God was both sovereign and holy. God was both powerful and mighty. And it was important that we as God's people follow his requirements. Because David was not only preparing a throne for Israel, but he's preparing a throne for the coming of Jesus Christ. In Chronicles it says this, it was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time, the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him of how to do it in the prescribed way. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord. And so the ark was in Obed-Edom's house. And after 3 months, David had seen the way the Lord had blessed him, had blessed his household. So David told his people that he was going to go down there and pick up the ark of God. He says, so David went down and brought up the ark of the God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And so we see two situations. We see him rejoicing before the Lord as they bring the ark up. We see the situation where God breaks out. We see God's revelation to David of his faithfulness, even in the midst of a situation he doesn't understand. And God blesses Obed-Edom in the same way as God wants to bless Jerusalem and his people. So David's intentions were right, but the means by which he did it were wrong. Because God had a way in which he wanted the ark to be brought up because of God's holiness. And so we then see David going back to the house of Obed-Edom and with rejoicing. And as he begins to lead the ark out, we see this. It says this, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They bore the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And so as David was leading the ark, he then began the process of recognizing who God was. And because of what he had done before the Lord, he brought a great sacrifice. And every 6 steps, he slaughtered a bull and a fatted calf. And if you think about that, every 6 steps, that's quite something quite significant, isn't it? If you think about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, every 6 steps, he made a very, very costly sacrifice because of who God was and because of that restoration that God wanted to bring to his people. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place. And David had pitched, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he'd finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of the servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I be held in honor." And so David had brought the ark back into the center of Israel. He had sacrificed before the Lord a very, very costly sacrifice by killing both the bull and the fatted calf. Every six steps he sacrificed. Then he brought the ark into God's presence. And then he finished off by making other sacrifices. And then as a sign of what God does as a worshiping people, it says this: "Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates and of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israel, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes." And so we see in this story, God restores the place of worship back in Israel. And sacrifice and worship is always costly, as we know. And one of the stories that illustrates very much, very similar to this, is the story of the woman, the alabaster woman, who had made an incredible sacrifice before the Lord. And if you remember the story, it's one very well known to us. And it was just before Jesus was going to be crucified, who was going to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And a woman, Mary, who was a prostitute, had been so forgiven by Jesus and been brought into relationship with him. And she knew what God was going to do for her. She knew the cost of what he was going to do upon the cross. And so she took a jar of perfume, which was worth a lot of money, they reckon about a year's wages, and he broke it upon her feet. And as the aroma began to come up to Jesus, he says to her, "You'll be remembered." And you see, Jesus remembers the sacrifices that we make. And worship is often something that we have. It's a sacrifice that we make before the Lord. And the Lord remembers and the Lord honors those who worship him. And because David had danced before the Lord with all his might, he danced in an undignified way. He danced in a way that wasn't pretty. Micah, who was Saul's father, said to David, "How can you do this before the Lord?" And David said, "I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated even in my own eyes." And so, just in the story this evening, I just want to remind us of God wanting to restore that place of worship in our hearts. He's leading each one of us on a journey. The journey starts from a beginning, and we're called for a purpose. And each one of us starts in a place where we're not the finished article, but we've got to begin the journey somewhere. And I still want to read this thing again from Brenton Brown. It says, "We often start our journey like a broken down car in need of repair. Most of us want to get the car totally sorted and fixed before we start the journey. But God says, start the journey anyway. You'll find the service station, the mechanics on the way. As we continue on the way into him, periodically he pulls us aside and gives us a service, making us more and more like his son. That's how this God life works." And so I just want to encourage each one of us here this evening that each one of us has been anointed for purpose. Each one of us has been anointed by God to enter a journey. David was anointed as king, not because he had anything that distinguished him as a king, but because God called him to be a king. And he became a king as he took this journey, not as a perfect person, but as a person who is willing to begin the journey of walking out and being led by Jesus. And so this evening, I just want to encourage each one of us as we're called to begin that process of stepping out on that journey with God. And in that journey with the Lord, it's a journey where we can have great confidence of who God is. And the beginning of David's journey, as he brought the ark back into the center of Israel, that there was a place that they could worship God, the place where they had God at the center of the people. He went through a journey of learning about who God was. And what God had put in his heart was right, that he wanted him to bring him back into the center of Israel. But what he had forgotten is that God was a holy God. And that God was a mighty, powerful God. And that God, as we come into God's presence, God wants to be reminded, one, that he's loving. Secondly, he invites us into that place. But also, he's an amazingly powerful God. And so I just wanted to take a moment just this evening just to invite that mighty, powerful God into the situations we find ourselves in on our journey. And it's on that journey that we meet the King. It's in that journey that God wants to show us his holiness. It's on that journey that God wants us to show us our sacrifice to him. It's on that journey that God wants to reveal that he's there to bless his people. That where God is, there's great blessing. And when the ark was restored into the place, into the center of Israel, David blessed the people. And when God is the center of his people, God wants to bless his people. Chris, could we have another song just to sort of finish with? That'd be great. I appreciate that.